Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and we begin a series of Yuletide podcasts tonight with Yule Tree Magic. I'm going to share with you some of the ways that I have incorporated Yule Tree Magic as part of my Yuletide, not just on Winter Solstice Eve and Winter Solstice Day, but throughout the whole season. I am here in my home in southwestern Wisconsin, USA, and I'm coming to you live over CSNP, that's Circle Sanctuary's internet radio, and I'm also, internet connectivity permitting, coming to you via Facebook Live, my Selena Fox updates page. I have two Yule trees with me tonight. I have the Yule tree for this year at my home right here, which was harvested by me and my husband at a sustainable agriculture tree farm. And I have another Yule tree, one that is small enough that even if you are in a small dwelling, you can most likely have a small symbolic Yule tree present somewhere. So let's take a look at Yule trees. Now, many people call Yule trees holiday trees, holidays trees, and in popular culture, often they're called Christmas trees. So the first part of Yuletide Yule tree magic is to recognize the magic of tradition. Connecting with trees in a sacred way and decorating trees has been part of various pagan religions and cultures in antiquity. No one knows who created the first Yule tree, but we do know from historical references that in the early 1600s, decorating Yule trees in Europe started becoming a thing. But they did not really take off as a tradition until the 1840s, when Queen Victoria and Prince Albert had this ancient German holidays custom as part of their celebration. And an illustration of them with their tree started circulating widely, and an American version of that image, not with Queen Victoria and Prince Albert, but some other people looking like an American family, started taking off in the USA. And all of a sudden, it became a thing in many parts of the world, not just in England and in the United States, but throughout the English-speaking world and other parts of Europe. Now, today, trees are very much part of the celebration of Yuletide. And when I talk about Yuletide, I'm using that as a universal term for what I also call the happy holiday seasons. And why I like Yuletide is Yule comes from Yule meaning wheel, and it's an actual pagan term, but it's also gotten incorporated in secular and religious Christmas celebrations. So if someone greets you with Merry Christmas, one expression back, if you're pagan, can be Good Yule, and in some parts of Scandinavia, that's actually the preferred greeting that's being done. So tradition, keeping alive a custom connected with celebrating the holidays, that itself is very magical, because as you keep alive a custom and evolve it, you not only tap into your own experience of the Yule tree, but you connect with that larger resonance of people across time and cultures that have been working with holiday tree celebrations. Another part of Yuletide magic involving Yule trees has to do with the symbolism of the tree. Why are these connected with Yule in the first place? The idea of having evergreens, and this is a Fraser fir that we have in our home, and we get our Fraser fir from a tree farm. We actually go out and go and select the tree and harvest it ourselves after paying respects to the tree and getting a sense that that tree really wants to be able to come and be part of our celebration. What I'm glad about is that for every tree that is harvested, at least one additional tree is planted. So in terms of the carbon uptake that happens with trees of many types, you're basically sustaining the forestation rather than reducing it. And I have loved evergreens since I was a young child and had them as part of home celebrations. And with the tree, it represents the eternity of life, the cycle of life, death, and rebirth. The tree reminds us, evergreens remind us, that even in places such as Wisconsin, where I live, where the winters can be long and cold and harsh, and you don't necessarily see much in the way of vegetation except trees once the snow falls, it's a sign of the continuity of life. And whether it's a tree that has been freshly cut or one that has been harvested by someone else and you've brought that into your home, or whether you have the perpetual tree, one that is tree-like and represents the tree, having that evergreen energy in your home is a powerful way of connecting with the magic of life here on planet Earth. Another part of Yuletide magic has to do with selecting what kind of tree you're going to be working with as part of your Yuletide and where you're going to locate it. And there's a lot of choice and variation. And indeed, some people will not have an actual, you know, full-size tree or even a miniature one, but may choose to have some evergreen branches and to bring those into the home rather than a whole tree. All of those are options. Some of the ways we know about how Yuletide, Saturnalia, winter solstice, Christmas, happy holidays have been celebrated in the past is the fact that boughs of evergreens were part of decorations for the various type of winter solstice activities. And there is a wonderful aroma of having fresh greens brought into the home, which adds a whole aromatic dimension to celebrations as well. In addition to these forms of Yuletide Yule Tree magic, I'd like to share with you some Yule Tree rituals. I mentioned finding a type of tree and a location for the tree. Well, part of it is preparing that space so that the tree can be there for a while. How long do you have the tree up? And there's a lot of variation on that. In my own household, my husband and I get our tree the Friday after Thanksgiving, the very day after American Thanksgiving. And why that day? Because that's when the tree farm that we patronize opens up and has the public come in and get wreaths and trees. Some of the trees they have, they've already harvested, and other ones you get to harvest your own. And so we get our tree in late November, and then we have a series of rituals, and each of those rituals helps us in our celebration of Yuletide and connects us with this tradition. So we will and I think I'm back on CS. Magic. All I can say is that part of the promise of having evergreens in your lives and at Yuletide, it does give yourself a boost. Not only the aromas and the beautiful colors, but actually having a tree, and this is the pre-decorated one, but we put all sorts of colored lights on it and all sorts of ornaments, and it can be such a wonderful, magical experience. So something that you might want to consider doing for your Yuletide Yule Tree magic is to, even before you set up a tree, is think, okay, where am I going to have the tree this year? What kind of tree am I going to have? And what kinds of things will I be doing with the tree to actually get your Yule Tree magic plan? So in our own household, I use this little tree every year, this small tabletop imitation evergreen tree, and I like that because it adds a festive lights and beauty. And it's also very easy, and I can turn it on and off to save the bulbs. So I actually have several different Yuletide trees that are part of my own household celebration. For actually getting a tree that is living, freshly harvested, there's not only preparing the space, but going out and harvesting it, getting it back home. Then there's cutting off the base, making a clean cut, and right before it's getting put up and then put into the tree stand and then hauled into the house and set up. We're actually in the phase of, we just set this up today, that up, then we let it be up for a while, for like a day or so. Then we put on the lights. And after we put on the lights, then we start doing the decorations. And then once the decorations are all on, and we have a topper on our tree that dates back to the 1970s, and in future podcasts, hopefully the internet will work and the landline phone will work. We hope to be able to give you a glimpse, for those of you tuning in through the Facebook Live, watching the tree as it undergoes some transformation. And at the end of the Yule season, for us, it's January 6th, which is Epiphany, and January 5th is Bafana's night, or 12th night. So sometime after the 6th of January and before Imbolc, Candlemas, Groundhog's Day, Bridget's Day, we will do what I call de-yuling. We'll take all the Yule decorations down, including the tree. And then what do we do with this tree once it has fulfilled its holiday honoring and Yuletide delight for us? We return it to nature. We take it to a piece of our land. We live out in rural Wisconsin on land that adjoins Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. We have our own property that's part of this area out here. And we'll set the tree out, and then it becomes habitat for a time for wild creatures. And they like to kind of shelter in the branches and things. And then eventually, after the tree has dried, then we will kindle the tree or take parts of it and add it to bonfires as a ritual celebration. And I have rituals that I do, which I consider part of Yule magic, for each of those stages of working with the tree. And making the quest to go get the tree, it's in my household, it's my husband and myself. So we will go with our intention to find the tree for our home, and we keep walking until we get to a sense where the tree is. And it's kind of a joint decision between the two of us. But also, we spend time with the tree before we harvest it and invite the tree spirit to come and be with us in addition to the tree body. And we give thanks and do a blessing after harvesting the tree for that entire tree farm, so that it will prosper and that more Yule trees will be able to be grown in years to come. Our setting up of the tree, well, part of that is not only getting it in position, but which side of the tree faces us, and we have a window right behind it, so actually we see the tree from many angles. But as we are contemplating the tree, and it, even though this has only been up for a few hours, it's already starting to really unfold and give wonderful fragrance. We spend time getting the essence of the tree as part of a beautiful design within the room. And what we like about having the tree here in this room, which is my office, now also my studio for podcasting and live streams, is that we not only can see it out the side window, but we have a main window in front of our house where it's also visible. So that way we have a chance to actually, once it's all decorated and lit up, we can enjoy the tree even when we're outside walking around. And I do think each person will have their own way an approach of working with trees. I do think that the whole idea of having a tree and having that tradition is something that not only connects you with that custom across time and cultures, but think about your own personal life. If you grew up in a household or had friends as you were growing up where trees were a thing at the Yuletide, well, it can awaken memories. And to me, part of Yuletide is time travel. It is being able to be in the here and now and to celebrate the beginning of the new solar year. But it also helps us connect with memories of loved ones living and those who have crossed over. It is a really powerful way of being able to celebrate winter solstice, to bring in not only the new solar year, but the new calendar year. I'd like to share with you some other ways of doing Yule tree magic and invite you to, if you are able, to find a comfortable place to sit. And I'm going to guide you in a short imagination, a meditation journey. In the next few moments of quiet, as you center yourself and close your eyes if you are able, be at peace. Feel the power of the earth beneath you, flowing up through your being. The power of sky above you, flowing down through your being. And around you, call into your circle the magic of Yuletide. And be with that image and that sensation and that ideation for a few moments. And then imagine yourself by a magical Yule tree. It can be a Yule tree you already have present in your home, or it can be a living tree out in the forest, or it can be a symbolic tree, a decoration. But call to mind an image of a Yule tree. And then experience yourself standing before it and making contact with the tree. And as you touch a branch, commune with the tree. Give thanks to the tree for its representation of Yuletide. And then if it feels right to do so, ask the spirit of the tree to bring you a message. Of some form of renewal for yourself, for your family, your household, for this Yuletide season. Pay attention to whatever words, phrases, symbols, guidance comes to you. A message about renewal at Yuletide. And then spend a few moments becoming one with the tree. Resonate even more deeply with the Yule tree. Experience yourself being renewed, healing and wellness in your body, healing and wellness in your thoughts, healing and wellness in your stamina, your vitality. Healing and wellness in your emotions. Healing and wellness in your spirit. And then give thanks. Give thanks to the spirit of Yuletide. Give thanks to the Yule tree that you have communed with. Give thanks for the magic of the season. So, those of you who are watching live on my Facebook, I invite you, if you're open to doing so, to share a bit about your experience if you wish, or you can message me if you prefer to do that, or send an email, selena@circlesanctuary.org. And now what I'd like to do is share with you some additional ways of doing Yule tree magic. Ornaments. There's all sorts of traditions connected with ornaments. I have certain ornaments that I've had on our household Yule tree for decades. And as I take the ornaments out of storage and individually wrapped and put in a good way, I not only see the beauty of the ornament, but I connect with Yuletide's past and bring that Yuletide past into the present. I like glass ornaments. I know that that's not real practical for some people, and when we had kittens in our household, it clearly led to some problem solving as to where we would hang the glass ornaments because little kittens would love to jump around in the tree. And so if you have companion animals that are frisky, that enjoy the tree experience, well, you may not want the glass ornaments for that reason. But one of the things that I've done over the years is collected ornaments, and some I've gotten from secondhand stores, antique stores, some have come new, some I've crafted, some have been given to me. And each of those ornaments has its own kind of history and memories connected with it. So in addition to creating an art piece by decorating the tree, it is a way of connecting with the memories associated with the various ornaments. Now, some ornaments have some lore connected with them. And one I connect with my German ancestry when I hide the Yuletide pickle in the tree. And I learned about this not growing up, but actually as an adult, and learned about it from some other people who also have German heritage. I actually have
Heritage from a number of different cultures and places in the Americas and in Europe. And the idea is that you would put the pickle ornament somewhere in the tree, and then on Yuletide morning, the family would be gathered around. There'd be a contest to see who would find the pickle and where it is hiding in the tree, and to find it then brings you good luck. Well, I haven't done that tradition, but when I put the pickle up on the tree, I do so with an understanding that families of many places, not just Germany now, are keeping alive the pickle custom. Another ornamentation that I've had since the 1970s, when I birthed Circle back in 1974, I actually have a retro topper, a tree topper, that has a little light in it, and it spins around. It's a beautiful five-pointed star, and it just has a beautiful rainbow, ever-changing effect. And our final thing with doing our tree is to have that topper up and all lit, as well as the tree being decorated. And it's really fabulous. The topper sometimes, with some homes, will go on right away. Some will do the topper halfway through. Some do it at the very end. For us, after we've gotten everything on the tree, then we basically turn all the lights out in the room and then do an illumination of the tree and get to see it all in its glory as its completed piece. And one of the things that I have found to be very magical is to sit and be present with the tree as part of Yuletide meditation. And when I did the meditation just now, I called to mind a Yule tree that I've done in the past. It was kind of a symbolic tree of the multiple trees that we've had. And although this one does not yet have its light, and it does not have its ornaments or its topper on it, I have some imaging from this that are woven in my own imagination as part of it. Another bit of Yuletide magic with Yule trees: what are you going to call your tree? I like calling our tree the Yule tree. Not everybody is used to that. Many people will use the, in popular culture term, Christmas tree. Christmas is part of my own personal and our household and community celebration of the Yuletide, but it's not the main event. It's just one of many events that happens during the Yuletide. And so I prefer to call our tree a Yule tree, because Yule and Yuletide are terms that I use for the entire season. Over the years, from time to time, there's been debate about Yule trees in the public square and what to call these holidays trees. And I actually prefer, if it's going to be in the public square, to call it a holiday tree or holidays tree. I think holidays tree is actually a more accurate way of naming it. You have in the month of December up here in the northern hemisphere, as we move towards winter solstice, you've got Krampus Night on December 5th. You've got St. Nicholas Day on December 6th. You have Santa Lucia's Day on the 13th of December. You've got the full moon for Yuletide sometime during the month, the new moon for Yuletide during the month. You have Mother's Night, which, depending on your tradition, is either the eve of winter solstice, what we call longest night, or the as it was set down back in the 8th century, and we have a little bit of writings about it, Modranach, a German tradition where you honored the mothers. And this is an old pagan holiday that was continuing to be celebrated at least into the 8th century. The Venerable Bede had set down some writings about this, and it's a way of honoring the goddess, so whether it's Solstice Eve or Christmas Eve. So we have the Mother's Night. We have Christmas, or for those in Roman Reconstructionism, Mithras, Miss, and Sol Invictus Day, the Feast of the Unconquered Sun. You have St. Stephen's Day, or Boxing Day, after that. And then as you get into the calendar, New Year's Eve, which in Scotland and some other parts of the world is the Hogmanay, and then you go to New Year's Day. And for those who celebrate the African-American holiday of Kwanzaa, it starts right after Christmas and goes to New Year's. So we have that holiday in the midst. And the 12 days of Yuletide, the 12 days of Christmas, as you can see, there's many different holidays. And I think it's great to have a tree up for all those holidays, which is why we get ours up in early December. So I advocate for calling the tree a Yule tree or a Happy Holidays tree or a Holidays tree, or some people prefer Christmas tree because that's what they grew up with, and so I'll leave that up to you. I do think that the use of illumination on a tree can be a really powerful way of doing some magic. And when we do our first ta-da, we're complete with the tree, and we turn all the lights off, including the Yule tree lights, and we turn them on, then we go into a time of just looking at the beauty of it. But each day and each night of Yuletide, we will turn the tree on. We don't leave the tree on 24/7. Part of it's conserved utilities, and part of it is a safety thing. But being able to turn the tree on, if you use electrical lights, then you have a chance to be able to experience the beauty of that glow. Now, it's been said that in earlier times, trees were decorated, this is before electricity became a thing, were decorated with a variety of different ornaments, but actual living candles were put on trees. Well, there are some battery-operated candles, which are a much safer alternative, and I got a set of, actually a couple sets of these a number of years ago, and they actually can be remotely turned on and off. So in addition to strings of light, we will put on our clip-on candle to the tree. And that can be just a really wonderful addition. If you are going to have a tree and you're from a tradition that actually uses candles, actual lit candles on your tree, then it's very important that you are present with the lit candles whenever they are lit, and you have some fire extinguishing aids present in case something goes awry. So I recommend battery-operated candles if that is part of your illumination strategy. I think telling stories around a Yule tree can be a really powerful ritual. And our tree is right up to a window, so in past years, pre-pandemic, we would have a series of holiday gatherings in our home. This year, that's not going to be happening. Our largest gathering happening in connection with the Hogmanay. And this particular room where we have our tree has been a place for quiet conversation and contemplation, with the tree being the main attraction as people were feasting and moving in other parts of the house. So part of what I'm going to do this year, instead of what I've done in past years, given the fact it's a pandemic, and right now the pandemic is getting worse in the U.S. and in many other parts of the world, I'm hoping to be able to do some live streams with the tree. So being able to share some of the Yule tree magic with others. And I would encourage you, if you have Yule tree as part of your traditions for celebrating winter solstice time, that you consider taking a photograph or a video of you with the Yule tree and sharing it on social media. It's a different way of bringing Yuletide greetings to others than gathering in small, medium, and large groups indoors. But given the fact that we have a pandemic going on in 2020, this is definitely a safer option, and it's a way of sharing the beauty and the magic of your Yule tree with others. Yuletide magic, Yuletide right, Yuletide tree, with Yuletide light. So you might have a chant such as that, that you sing as you set up your tree. You do rituals with your tree. You do meditations with your tree. You may want to play some type of instrument as you meditate on the Yuletide and connecting with the energy of the tree. One of the favorite things that I have for meditation work is a singing bowl. And as I play this singing bowl, I connect with Yuletide peace joy prosperity well-being love, and send it out to all of you tuning in live and later. Blessed be. Being able to have the Yule tree be a centerpiece for Yule celebrations is very common across different nature spirituality traditions, as well as Christian Christmas traditions and secular Christmas traditions. When I grew up, our Christmas tree was a place where gifts for the family were placed under the tree. And Santa would come in the night as I was a young child, and getting up on Christmas morning and coming down the stairs and seeing the tree and seeing all the gifts, wonderful memories of that. And the Yule tree became a kind of focal point, not only for the gift exchanging, but it was such a beautiful ever-present tradition that was part of our holiday season, that calling to mind my memories of that, they come in pretty crystal clear. And traditions themselves do not have to be the same from year to year. Most traditions go through some kind of change. So on one level, you have a custom that gets passed down generation to generation, and different ways of celebrating. But it's also important, as we look at traditions, to recognize flexibility and creativity. And during this pandemic year, I do think it's more important than ever before to share Yuletide cheer during the pandemic year, and to really have joy, gratitude, peace, and positivity, not only in your own home, but in that larger world of which we are a part. Some other things to share with you about Yule Tree Magic. Consider different ways of celebrating the Yuletide. Your personal practices, and for Yule Tree work, that would take the form of personally doing a meditation in person with the Yule Tree, whatever its type or size. So developing your own ritual practices on that. If you're part of a household with other humans and creatures, is to also have some traditions connected with the Yule Tree that bring your household together, whether it be a family grouping or roommates, housemates, and to develop your own practices. So an example of that on Winter Solstice Eve, to be by the tree and to do a gift exchange, and or to each give a short story about a favorite Yule memory, or to take a look at the ornaments on the tree and pick one and to talk about why that's special to you. So those are some examples of what could be done as a household. In terms of community, there are trees that get lit in public spaces, and one of the things that I like to do that's part of Yule Tree Magic is, with my husband and I, we go driving around in some of the local rural villages and look at how people are decorating the Yule trees outside their homes, and those that have been decorated and visible through a window in their homes, to really look at the beauty of the Yule decorations. And I enjoy watching the lighting of holiday trees on television and on the internet. So there's a beautiful tree in Rockefeller Square in New York City. I've actually, back in my graduate school days, first time in graduate school when I was at Rutgers back in Yule of 1971, I had the opportunity to be in the Big Apple, New York City, and to experience Yule trees galore, as well as the large tree in Rockefeller Square, being decorated and all illuminated. So given the fact we're in a pandemic year, there's ways of seeing these trees in the public square through the virtue of photographs on social media, videos, television, YouTube, and being able to actually drive around and take a look. I like going to light displays, and there are several out in it's a safe thing because you'll be in your car, so you're in your own bubble and being able to drive around and see the illumination. In addition to the whole working with the Yule tree in these different contexts, I do think connecting with the tree as mythic symbol is a powerful thing to do. And we did a bit of that in the meditation. And I'd like to invite you to do another short meditation with me before we conclude our session today. And in the next few moments of quiet, I invite you to center yourself and then to journey through time and space to a beautiful, living, tall tree and a huge sacred circle. And this tree is lit with twinkling lights. And as you journey to this tree, you experience yourself connecting with planet Earth beneath you. And as you look way up to the top, you see a sun image coming and being at the top of the tree, the solstice sun, in a symbolic way. And you draw the powers of the sky down into yourself, just as you've drawn the powers of the earth up into yourself, and experience this tree as a tree linking heaven and earth. And as you stand before this tree, you experience yourself being part of a convergence of people from many places across time who have celebrated Yule, who are celebrating Yule, and some from the future who will be celebrating Yule. You experience this gathering in this realm of imagination, the mythic site, and you all gather and join hands and form a beautiful circle around this magical Yule tree. And as you join hands with those from Yuletide past, Yuletide present, Yuletide future, spend a few moments now and do blessings for a healthier planet, imagining humankind joining together to stop human contributions to climate change, imagining humankind working together for a healthier, sustainable biosphere here on planet Earth. Experience yourself as part of a sacred circle of love and peace, of Yuletide joy and celebration, of well-being for planet Earth, our home. Wellness not only for the humans but the great circle of life of which we are all part. Mary Yule, Blessed Yule. And then carry with you that image of yourself being part of the grand circle of people celebrating the Yuletide this year. And know that Yule Tree magic has many forms and many ways of being. So may we find good ways of being together, ourselves in personal practice, our household, families, circles of loved ones, in communities and nations and the planet as a whole. Merry Yule, thank you all for joining in Yule Tree Magic. And in coming weeks, I'll be doing some other podcasts. On Sundays, I have Encore Yuletide Podcast on my Nature Mystic show at 6 p.m. Central every Sunday. And on Wednesday nights, I'll be bringing you all new workshops via my Nature Spirituality Podcast. And hopefully the internet will continue to work for me to live stream all of this. I invite you to check out information about Circle Sanctuary, circlesanctuary.org, and visit us on social media. We have a Yule Festival that is coming up on the 19th of December, and it's free to members and $10 to others. I'll be facilitating our annual longest night, also online, just as our Yule Festival is, and I'll be doing New Year divination. Full Moon Circle, the last Tuesday of December on the 29th. Also coming up on this Saturday, I will be talking about Yuletide magic as part of YuleCon at the Covenant of the Roses Facebook page. I'll be doing the Freethinkers Sunday Yuletide service at 10:10 in the morning Central on December 20th. So I hope you'll be able to join me for the Free Congregation of Sauk County in Wisconsin, which is a really old Freethinkers community and also a UU community that's not too far from here. That too will be online. And stay tuned for other events. I hope to be able to do some pop-up Facebook live streams during the month of December. And before signing off, I'd like to invite those of you who appreciate our podcast, not only the ones that I do, but David and Jeanette Ewing have Moon Magic, and we have Laura Gonzalez, who has our multilingual shows, Deborah Rose, who does our circle talk. I invite you to, as you consider ways of celebrating Yuletide, to contribute to Circle Sanctuary. Like so many other nonprofits, we have had to make a lot of changes during this pandemic year, and we certainly would appreciate financial support, networking support, volunteer help, be able to give to help sustain us as we move through 2021, not only our podcasting work, but our pagan civil rights and religious freedom work, our work in chaplaincy, and the many different things that we do for pagans across the USA and around the world. For more information, check out our website, circlesanctuary.org. And if you aren't already on our Circle Times e-list, then you can sign up at our website or email circle@circlesanctuary.org and ask to be added to the list. Thanks to David and Jeanette Ewing for doing the support for this show. And thanks to our whole team of podcasters and to Casey Pope, who does our social media. Thanks to all of you who have been tuning in live and who will tune in later. Good Yule. Many blessings.
joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.